One of the things I wanted to expand on the announcement on Hishama, because you wouldn't understand this. Most of you are not familiar with it. We have a dear couple named Eric and Tracy Hagman who used to be part of our New Hope location. They moved to Kenya, Africa, Nairobi. God put it on their heart to reach out to a group of people. Many, many years ago, Tracy had one of her children who was born with a birth defect. I'll never forget going to visit in the hospital. Most of you, my kids don't even know this story. And it was a very, very difficult, challenging situation for them. God used it in an extraordinary way and eventually put it on their heart to take their two boys and move to South Africa. And they began working with some missionary groups there, and eventually Tracy began to realize, and Eric, that there are women in Kenya, and they have children who are very special needs, and when they're born, the tribes and often the husband will kick out the wife and the little child and leave them to die and give them nothing. It's bad. It's very, very horrifically bad. And so they had this little clinic. You wouldn't even put your pigs where they originally had this, near a garbage dump. Gunshots would be going off, and they would try to help some of these, Tracy and her husband would try to help some of these moms and their children. Eventually, through their vision and their faith, they built. He's a builder. He was a contract builder here in the States. Moved there. They put up cinder block, metal sheathing on the top. It's beautiful what they built. And they gather these gals together, and they've had some people giving the children physical therapy, but the women have no way to make any living and support themselves. That's why they started Dignity Designs. And it's Tracy's brainchild. She's approached Target. She's approached all kinds of other companies here to sell this jewelry. And one of her brainchild was through the ladies at our churches to bring these original pieces that these women basically slave over all day long to make to support themselves. That's what this is about. So I just want you to know we're promoting something really awesome and wonderful. And if you would come and look at some of this jewelry, it's not the plastic stuff. It's bone, rock, it's handmade. It's very special. But every dime goes to serve an incredible purpose to support these precious women and their children who have been abandoned and really have tremendous needs. So I wanted you to know that. Okay? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you tonight for the redemption of Jesus Christ. Lord, I just thank you tonight that you did not leave us by the curbside of life, that you did not leave us lost and broken, and that we have significance to you and meaning to you, and we have eternal life, and we know where we're going to spend our eternity. And we know we have not only Jesus Christ, but the loving family of God to be part of. As Jeremy was sharing tonight, Lord, out of my mind, you know, all of us, we know so many lonely, broken, hurting, and forgotten people. And we just thank you, Lord, tonight for the message of Jesus Christ and the life that we have because of you. And we ask you, Lord, tonight that you'd speak to our hearts. We ask you that you'd help us understand in this area that has caused so much difficulty for so many people, that you'd help us understand that you're the author of life, even in the area of money. And that you have a plan for our finances. You reveal, your word reveals a lamp to our feet and a light to our path in the area of money. So give us hearts, Lord, tonight to hear, hearts to learn, hearts to listen, hearts to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of this series, those of you that have been coming for a while, I'll just give you a brief introduction, is entitled, Go the Old Way, Live Long and Prosper. And our theme verse has been Jeremiah 6, verse 16 and 17. Here's what it says. Now says the Lord God, stop right where you are. Look for the old godly way and walk in it. Travel its path and you'll find rest for your soul. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. So just a little quick background. The nation of Israel was constantly deviating from the laws of God. And it brought tremendous trauma to the nation. And in time, God brought great judgment on the nation. Now, fast forward, here we are in America. America, as I've told you before, it's not like the nation of Israel. Israel and the Jews were the chosen people of God, the whole nation. So the whole nation was a theocracy. America's not a theocracy. The church is the nation of God. When I say church, we mean not the building, but the called out people, black, white, red, yellow, Asian, African, Australian, whoever, wherever, we come to Christ, and we are now the nation of God. But our nation has made catastrophic financial decisions. Foolish and catastrophic financial decisions. And eventually the $18 trillion of debt is a house of cards. It's going to fall. But if you look microscopically at individual lives, most people's finances, including maybe many here tonight, are a mess. Less than desirable. And one of the primary reasons why is because we've deviated from God's plan for money. And we have all kinds of problems as a result. So last week we got into the first section, and you'll need to hear the first section to understand part two. Part two, it'll make sense. I promise it will make sense tonight. But the first four things we went over last week are very, very significant. And we got to start with those. They're kind of the foundation. So please make sure you go online, if you would, to strongdisciple.com and look for Go the Old Way, Live Long and Prosper, Part 3, and it's called God's Plan for Your Finances, okay? Or God's Financial Plan for You, that's the name of it, God's Financial Plan for You. I don't know if you realize this, but the Scriptures, God has a plan for all the significant areas of our life. Revealed in His Word. This is, I told you a few weeks ago, we were joking about your phones, but I met with a young man today, we had coffee, and I was using this illustration with him, and I said, I'll bet you, he drove down from the U of M, and we met at Kowalski's in Eagan, and I said, I'll bet you the first thing you did this morning was pull out your phone and type or talk in, however you do it with your phone, Kowalski's in Eagan, and you got GPS, and it just Siri just walked you. You just got in the wheel. She said, drive now 5 miles. Turn left. No. Turn your blinker on now. Smile. Oh, it's unbelievable. Have you ever heard those things talk to you? They're unbelievable. Anyway, he smiled. He said, you're right. That's exactly what I did. You know what I have in my hands? This is a GPS for life. And if you don't consult this for every single thing, you are a foolish person. Because on every topic this book relates to, the world also has a GPS, and it's a lie. It's a lie. They lie about money. They lie about sex. They lie about marriage. They lie about relationships. They lie about God. They lie about origins. They lie about the priorities of life. They lie about death. They lie about eternity. They lie. And millions and millions and hundreds of millions of people are following the lie. And all you got to do is look at their life, and it's ruined, it's miserable, it's going to end destroyed. But at any moment, any one of us can stop right where we are, look for the old godly way, and travel this new road with the GPS of God, and you will find rest in your life. And God wants to bless your life. God did not bring you into this world in the sense that you're just going to be miserable every single day. Now I realize there's lots of difficulties that happen in people's lives that they have no control over. But much of our life is determined, the quality of our life, by the choices that we make. Or the choices that we do not make. And God wants to influence, He wants to guide us into the choices that we make. So, we got a lot to cover tonight. I'm going to do my best to get to all of it because it's very significant for your finances. Okay? So we're on number 5. We covered the first 4 last week. I don't have time to review them. Please make sure you get the message because you need to hear them. So number five, save for the future, short term and long term. I'm going to give you some silly little stories, but they're true. And they're going to make sense. So this is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 20. The wise man saves for the future, but the foolish man spends whatever he gets. I love the Living Proverbs. It's just so blunt and so direct. It's kind of hard to get around. The wise man saves for the future. The foolish man spends whatever he gets. When I was a young man, and I was a hard worker, I worked, and then I spent every dime I had. And I just lived paycheck to paycheck. That's just how I lived. And I spent most of my money on the girlfriend that I had at the time. Whether it was jewelry or something she wanted or going on dates or buying expensive meals, it didn't matter to me. I was just with her. I'm spending it on her. I didn't think long term. I didn't understand long term. There were some realities that I didn't understand. I'm going to share with you one of those realities. Now hold on to your seat because I used a calculator for this. So I just want you to pretend for a moment. I'm sure there's no one like this in the room tonight. That you have three $1 candy bars every week, four $4 caramel macchiatos that you can get at Starbucks. I know that because when I meet people there sometimes, that's what they order, and that's what it costs. So that's three $1 candy bars a week. I went today to look at the store to confirm there are actually more. At Holiday, they're $1.39 for just the regular size and $1.99 for the double wide. Okay, here we go. And you have four, that would be three during the weekend, one on the weekend, $8 burritos at Chipotle because I just met someone there recently and that's what it came to. And I won't even add pop. You're going to be nice and frugal and you're going to drink water. That comes to $51 a week or $2,652 a year over the next 30 years of your life, $79,560, and you are eating your future. Does that not blow your mind? Who wouldn't like to have $80,000 dropped in their lap? Well, that's easy. Stop the Snickers, stop the Carmi Macchiato, whatever it's called, and the... Yeah, did you like that? The caramel macchiato. Shimishato. And the sushi. And the Chipotle. Remember what I talked to you last night? What did we talk last week? Number four. Redefine need. What is a need? Well, Chipotle is not a need. And a caramel macchiato is not a need. And three $1 candy bars a week is not a need. Those are luxuries. $51 a week, that's mind-blowing. Remember I told you I could find every one of you $100 a week. Well, most every one of you, unless someone here is living already ultra-frugal. Now let's just go a little farther. This is also mind-blowing. Some of you know this, but we'll get to it. So, some people are eating and drinking their future, not realizing you're going to need that money. One day you're going to need that money, and you ate it and you drank it, and then you wore it because they attach themselves to you. But many people are driving their future. They're sitting on it and driving it. Listen to this one. So 2 years ago, this is just an example, but I did the math. The math is accurate. I went to a site to confirm the math is accurate. 2 years ago, I purchased a Sienna van in excellent shape for $5,000. Toyota Sienna van in excellent shape for $5,000. That van originally sold for $30,000. Someone paid that I bought it from the price, $30,000. I saved $25,000. And instead of putting that in the car that I'm driving around my butt on, I'm putting the $25,000 in the bank over time. On top of that, guess what? So you bought your $30,000 van. You're going to get a six-year loan at 4% interest. Your payments are $469 a month for six full years. $469 a month. And on top of the $30,000, you're going to pay $3,752 in interest. Brothers and sisters, I love you. That's really dumb. That's really, really, really dumb. And the system's got you by the throat. And you wonder why. And you know what else on top of this? I couldn't figure this because I didn't have time to call my insurance agent. Yes, I'm that anal, I would have done this. I would guess that for, remember, I'm an old guy. So I get all those cool old discounts, like I haven't been in an accident for a long time. I don't drink, I don't smoke. I got two seniors living in the same house, me and Kathy. So I have full coverage. I have full coverage. $500 deductible, because that's no problem for me. I have full coverage on my Toyota Sienna van for $36 a month. That's right. Do you know what if you're a young family out there, you're 27 years old, you bought the $30,000 van, you're making $469 payments, your insurance coverage minimum, when you have a loan, you are required to have the maximum coverage with a low deductible, is going to be about $200, $250 a month, approximately. Some of you might be $180. You add that on top of your $469 a month, $180, you're up to about $640 a month just to ride your fanny around town. Now, if I take the candy bar I'm not eating, the Chipotle I'm not eating, the macchiato I'm not drinking, and the van I didn't buy, and I add the $25,000 to the $79,000, well, I'm $100,000 richer. Do you not get that? Does that not compute? Do those numbers not make you like, holy snot, I did not realize that. Oh, I love calculators. I had a terrible, scary dream this morning. I told my wife, I've never had this dream. I dreamed that I had to go to college. And I don't know why Gretchen was at our house and a couple other people. And I woke up in the morning and they're like, Mark, are you ready to go to class? I'm like, calculus is my first class. I can't stand calculus. And where am I supposed to register? Oh, you need to go to Margin Hall. I'm like, well, where's Margin Hall? And then I woke up. I was so relieved. Oh, my gosh. Just like, wow, I can't even believe I dreamed this. Probably because I was thinking about all these numbers. Let me tell another secret. Saving for the future. You got short-term things, you got long-term things, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you this. Just, you're going to have to trust me. I'm sure you've heard old people like me say this. For those of you, you know, I hope you understand how much they're taking from you from your taxes. For almost every dollar these days that you make, when you add sales tax, FICA, Social Security, federal tax, state tax, licensing tax, blah, 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 it's almost getting to be 50 cents of every dollar. Almost. Not quite. But almost. Well, your Social Security, you can't do nothing about, but guess what? Most of you here are like around 28 to 32. It ain't going to be there. These irresponsible morons, do you know what they've done? It used to be that it was in a lockbox. Congress had it in a lockbox. See, it was untouchable. That's future money. These people are paying it in. Oh, we're upright people of integrity. They changed the law. They're spending it now. They use it for other things and some Social Security, and they hawked the future, your future. It's on the backs of you. And so now, when an old person like me gets their little, your future benefits will be, and it'll say how much a month approximately, there's a little asterisk, and it says, by the year 2030, you can count on approximately 60% of that amount. Those deceivers and liars don't even have the guts to come public and tell you up front, we're going to have to cut that in half. So young person, listen to me right now. You better be saving. You better be saving. You better be trying both with short-term savings, just begin. Whether it's $10, just get in a habit. Put $10 a month somewhere. Put it in your bank. Put it in your savings. But I've got a 401k, and I'm putting money in it. I'm putting money in it. I'm putting money in it. I'm putting money. Pop money. Potato chip money. Call it whatever you want. It's beautiful when you start thinking that way. But this is the thing you have to see. You have to begin to see reality for what it really is. You got to take off the Alice in Wonderland glasses, And you got to see reality for what it really is. And you got to realize that you go through life making choices. Last little principle, that's not the last thing we're going to talk about tonight, but the last one I like to call is the sinner's scraps principle. You know what I love about sin? Can you believe I haven't said I love sin? It makes people stupid and discontent, and I just go around and buy their stuff. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. Okay? I'm a kingdom kid. I'm living for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to advance the kingdom of God. So my wife and I, about 16 years ago, we bought a little twin home, half a house. I call it half a house. We need some bedroom furniture. Never bought my wife bedroom furniture. So I said, Kathy, I'm going to get you some bedroom furniture. So I looked around. This is in the olden days before Craigslist. Every Christian ought to know about Craigslist. But this is before that. So I'm looking through the paper, and this woman says, oh, bedroom set, dresser, end table, bed, blah, 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 two dresser, mirror. Like, the whole works, originally $3,000, $400 you pick up. I'm like, wow, okay. So I called the lady. I said, yeah, I saw your ad. She goes, yeah, I'm not happy about this. I want to make this clear before I tell you the story. She goes, I'm going through a divorce, and it reminds me of my husband. I don't want any of it. I'm like, I'm sorry you're going through a divorce. She says, it's whatever. I'm glad to move on. I said, oh, okay. Well, can I come over and see the stuff? I sure did. I'm like, but, yes, recently needed a dryer, right? The dryer finally went kaput. I have a friend. He rents out different stuff. He has a business. He rents out appliances. So I call him and say, I don't have to match. I don't even care if it's brown or white. But if you have a white one, that'd be cool. It's just down in a room where nobody sees. All I got to do is dry the clothes decent. He goes, oh, Mark, I got one that somebody used for 3 weeks, but I can't sell it new. It's big extra capacity. Gas dryer. I'll sell it to you for $200. I said, can I come and get it? He goes, I'll bring it over to you. That's even better. I'm so proud of my daughter. My wife goes to Clothes Mentor or Plato's Closet. I mean, come on, folks, let me tell you. Sinners need the Lord, but gee, many Christmas are they discontent in this country. And much of the stuff, not every, I don't get every single thing that way, but much of what you can get. The other day I needed a frying pan. Every single day I use my pan. I use my pan for an omelet, and then later on I use it for this. And that, well, anyways, I won't tell you all that. So anyways, I go to Goodwill, and there's a $70 Kaflon frying pan, industrial type. You use it at a restaurant for $2.99. I grabbed that thing and walked right up. It's mine. Thank you very much. Would you like to pay an extra 25 cents to help support workers? Absolutely. Add a dollar to that today. I'm feeling big spender today. Okay, folks, I could go on. This is exciting stuff. I could talk all night about this. Number six, listen to this principle. Someone needs to stop the clock. I'm telling you, this is just crazy. Luke 16. This is a really good one. Luke 6. It's be generous with others. Luke chapter 6. I could go on and on about this one, but listen to this great verse. So I'm in Luke 6, and we're going to look at verse 38. If you give, you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full measure, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more and running over. Whatever measure you use in giving, large or small, it will be used to measure what is given back to you. The generous man prospers. Now, here's one of the secrets about the Bible. We build our life, we live by faith. Now, there are many of God's principles that you can just see them in life. You go, that's so true. There are others that defy logic. This is one of them. Give and you'll be richer. Wait a minute. Oh, hello. No, wait, geez. If I give it away, that means it's gone. I don't have it. That's right. But God promises to the generous person, to the person particularly with other believers that are in need, your brothers and sisters in Christ, this is one of God's main investment strategies for the Christian, and it has been mine and Kathy's for 36 years. Looking out for others, giving, giving, giving. And I'm telling you, God has just given and given and given and given back to Kathy and I. Generosity. Not only is generosity in time come back to you based on the promise of God, pressed down, that's kind of like, you sin on it. You're trying to shut that suitcase of money, and then he shoves some more in. He gives, but it also enriches your soul. Number 7, this is huge. Listen to this proverb. Proverbs 22, verse 7. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible. This is the Little Living Proverbs, and we sell them out in the hall if you want them. They're really cheap. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower, servant to the lender, stay out of debt, except in very rare cases. One of them, house. Kill your credit cards. Kill them. Take them out. Kill them. Kill them. The only card I carry with me, well, I'm sorry, there's two cards. I carry a red one. That's my health savings account. Yes, I would encourage you to get one. Because you can put pre-tax money into a health savings card, and you're going to need it. But that's up to you. The other one I carry is my check card, which is a debit card. It's my own money. I never carry cash. Cash is too easy to lose, spend. I don't keep track of it. I just carry my little Checkster card with me wherever I go. And whenever I go to Target, they go, yes, you get an extra 5%. If you sign up, I say, don't scam me. I don't care if I get extra 5%. You just want to hook me on your card. I just made a promise to myself, no cards, no cards, no cards, except my own, out of my account. Now, some of you may think, how is that possible? I'm just telling you, it's the old-fashioned way. It's called pay-as-you-go. It's called pay-as-you-go. If you can't afford it, don't buy it. Find another way. Find another way. Find another way. But do everything you possibly can in your life to stay out of debt. Number 8, be faithful with what God has given you now, and he will give you more to be faithful with. Listen to this tremendous principle in the book of Luke, chapter 16. Again, I wish I could just talk and talk about these things, but you can go over them yourself. Unless you're faithful in small matter, you won't be faithful in larger ones. If you're unfaithful and irresponsible in little things, you won't be honest and responsible and faithful in greater. And if you're untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of eternity? And if you are not faithful with other people's money, why should you be trusted with more money of your own? No one can serve two masters, for you hate one and love the other, or you devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. See? Faithfulness. Do you know what? I know this sounds crazy. You can call me crazy, and I'll be smiling all the way to Heavenly Bank. But when God sees that you begin to make choices, like, you know what, Lord? I don't need that candy bar, and I don't need that caramel macchiato, and I don't need that today. I realize those are luxuries, Lord. I'm going to be faithful as a steward, because remember last week, big principle? Everything I have, God gave me. It's his. He owns it. I'm a manager of it. I'm going to be faithful, Lord, with what you gave me in this little tiny thing. And when God sees that over and over, he gives you more. When God sees, hello, you just keep eating your caramel macchiato, your Chipotle, your whatever, you're not faithful. I'm not going to give you more. You say that isn't grace. No, you misunderstand grace. This is the reality of how God deals with us in the area of faithfulness. He still loves you. You're still going to die and go to heaven. But as far as usefulness in this life, let me tell you right now, your faithfulness in little matters is a big deal to God. Very, very big deal. Be faithful. Almost done. Number 8. Number 8, make a plan. Make a plan. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead to prosperity. Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity. Everything can become a want when you don't have a plan. Your plan helps define and determine real needs. It helps you think first. Think. Many years ago, you know, I was going over my budget and I realized that if I die, we're going to be in trouble. I'll be dead. My trouble will be over. My wife will be in trouble. My children will be in trouble. We had a goal to home educate our children, which we did. My wife did. I provided the funds, the roof, the shelter, all that stuff, and she did the work. But I began to realize that if I die, that option will be gone, and she'll have to get a job. But she was in a really bad car accident, and that would be very difficult for her to do. So I called up a friend, first time in my life. I was about 30, I think, 34 at the time when this really hit me. And I said, how much is a $500,000 term life insurance policy? At the time, I think he told me it was 50-some dollars. I said, I need one. I need one now because I want to make sure that my wife can finish what we started. So you have to make a choice. I can keep having a beer after work with the buddies. I can either keep smoking my pack every week or every 2 days. Or I can pay $50 a month to make sure that the bases are covered if old dad dies. Everything, everything comes down to those kinds of decisions in your life. That's the reality. That's the reality. We could talk, or could we not talk, a long time. I got to tell you, I went the other day to look for, the walking shoes. I use walking shoes at home, not walking shoes. They're cool shoes, but I don't wear the boots in the house. I don't wear slippers. I wear these really cool Timberland lightweight shoes to get me all around, but I'm literally busting out. The seams are, I'd glue them if you could, but the nylon, it's just, they're coming apart. So I was trying to find the exact pair, but they don't sell them online anymore. I was going to order, that's often what I do. I'll just order the exact one because I've tested it, tried it, boom, give me another pair. They don't make them. So I went to Nordstrom Rack because that's where I got this pair, and I didn't have nothing. I went to DSW, and this is the funny part. So, you know, the massive D. I haven't been to the Mall of America about 5 years. I'm like, I'll go. So I go. Have you ever been to that store? It's like five times bigger than this auditorium. Three little aisles for the fellas. 50 aisles for the girls. Hello, ladies. Hello. I know we don't have any ladies here that, you know, are crazy for shoes, but just let me comment anyway. Hello. How many pairs of boots does a gal really need? If you want to go shop, I'll go with you, and we'll pick out a cool pair, and then we'll just keep resoling them for you, okay? And we'll get leather, not that crazy plastic. We don't stop. We just think, well, I should have 10. I need 10. No, you don't need 10. Now, I realize we have winter around here. It's nice to have kind of a comfortable, lightweight pair of winter boots you can get around. I get that. How many pair of jeans does a person need? How many true religions do I need? How many seven for all mankind? You didn't think I knew those names. I know the names. Because I'm a cool pastor. But I just want you to know, tonight I'm wearing my Wranglers. Just for you guys. Just for you. Okay. Custom made, of course. I have them handmade. And they're usually $500 a pair. But that's okay with you, right? I'm lying. Okay. They were 17. But I wear them well. I almost showed up tonight in a pair of skinny jeans I found at Goodwill, and it's going to kind of freak you out going, the guy rocks the skinny jeans, does he not? And they were really cool because they weren't super tight here, but they were like, you know, just, and I'm like, man, Mark, you look fine, but I look stupid. That's what I really look. I look stupid, okay? I'm an old man, and I'm not going to wear skinny jeans. Okay, enough of that. Number 10. Number 10, and this is big, and this is important, and I'll give you a couple of examples. Pray over your money. Pray over your finances. This is no lie, I have been asking God every day in part of my prayer time. It's not the main part. I want to make that very clear. It's not the main part of Mark Darling's prayer time. The main parts are my time of thanksgiving, my time interceding for a number of you in your situations that you're going through, praying for things that I'd like to see God do in reaching other places. Different people I know and other churches that I minister to. But I always pray over my family members and my grandchildren. And then I have a little section near the end where I always pray over my future. I'm praying for a specific amount that God would just multiply that amount. I don't know exactly how it's going to get there. I'm doing my part, but I can't nearly do enough to get it where I'm praying. I pray over my savings. I pray for things we need. And let me tell you a story. So I knew that my house, it's like, it was built in 87. So I can't do the math really quick, but it's older. And the roof was getting shot. And I knew that. And the roof's about $6,000. I'm not the kind of guy who's going to go up. It's a very, very, very high roof, vaulted kind of ceiling. And I used to roof, but I'm not necessarily going to go up on that roof. You know what I started doing? This is not a lie. I started praying for hail. I said, Lord, you know, it's summer, and I need the help, Lord. I just ask you for a hail, hailstorm. I'm really serious, Lord. Now, about 2 weeks later, it hailed really bad. So bad it dented the freshly painted deck, like put these big, on the cedar. Cedar's kind of hard, and it like dented the ledge and everything. I'm like, yeah, hail, all right. So I call up the insurance adjuster, and he comes out, and he goes, well, this is that, or I think I'm going to say this right, John, that organic, you know, it's the old organic stuff, and they don't want to cover that much anymore. So I brought my friend out, who's a contractor, and I let him argue with the guy, and they went back and forth. I could hear him on the roof. I'm praying, Lord, help him win this argument, man, because it destroyed my roof. It really did. It dinged all the metal on the top. So finally, the guy goes, yeah, we'll cover it. I get enough from that roof because we cut a few safe corners, not bad corners, to replace the illegal pipes that were in my house that had been popping pinhole leaks, leaking water, that a good friend of mine I led to Christ many years ago is the only guy in the cities who has the tools to even fix them and help me limp by. There was a big lawsuit on these pipes, and I filed to be part of it. The guy came out, he took the pictures, he goes, yep, these are the pipes, yep, that's the problem, yep, should be no problem. They rejected it because they said, well, if you'd have bought it a month sooner, I said, that is not the point, this is a $1 billion lawsuit, and these are the pipes, replace my pipes, and he said no. So now I'm like, well, Lord, I need $2,500 worth of plumbing. I had enough money from the hail on the roof to do the roof and the pipes. This is real stuff to me. You can think I'm quacked. I'll be quacking all the way to the eternal bank. That's okay with me. But I'm telling you this, God answers prayer when we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's number 11. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things God will bring about as you're faithful. I hope that you'll seriously take the time to go over these principles because they're phenomenal. And I've told you this before, I want to end with this. I'm not your ivory tower pastor. I'm not the guy who went to college and got all of his little Greek and I put all his little notebooks and I can give you all these little beautiful little exegetical sermons. I've lived this. I've lived it. 40 years of my life and I raised my children on it. In the real world, in the arena, God really works. God's word really works. Are you willing to believe it? Are you willing to apply it? Are you willing to obey it? Are you willing to do it? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for the power of the Word of God, for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, I truly look back. I wished I would have known all of this in my 20s. That I wished that there were certain things I look back and I go, you know, Lord, I wish I would have applied that candy bar principle sooner, for sure. I remember a friend even teasing me. He said, Mark, every time we stop here, we'd be on a mission trip. And every time we stop at a gas station, you're getting snacks. Yeah, it's true, Lord. I was addicted to snacks. I wished I had the money back I spent on them. But I'm thankful, Lord, for your redeeming grace. And I thank you that you've taught me wisdom over the years. And I thank you, Lord, for the reality of these truths and that you help us in real time in the real world in which we live. Give us your grace. Give us an eagerness to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.